everyone. Welcome to episode 11 of the First Love Club. We're so glad you've joined us this week, and we hope that you will be blessed and inspired by what we have to say today. We're continuing our talk on the armor of God. So let's just refresh our mind with what this scripture says about that. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 is where the passage is found, but let's just read 13 through 15. It says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." So, Corey, are you ready to talk today about the gospel of peace?
So, I will be honest, when we were kind of going through this, you know, preparing for the show, and we were kind of like, well, you know, what's the next topic going to be? And it was shodding in my Bible, which is New King James, it says, "And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace," I kind of froze. I'm like, what does that mean?
I did the exact same thing. I thought, wait a minute. I don't know about this. I have to think this through. Yeah.
So I literally Googled, which I recommend to everybody when you get kind of caught in phrasing that you're not familiar with in the Bible, that you can literally type that phrase into Google and you'll see a multitude of different resources pop up that will give you some insight. And mm-hmm. So what I found came from this site called gotquestions.org, and Got Questions is about the Bible. There is literally a topic on there. What is the readiness of the gospel of peace? So mm-hmm. I was like, perfect. So one of the things that I got from this answer, and I'm going to link this whole article in the show notes so that, you know, if you are curious and want to read the full explanation, you certainly can. It was actually very illuminating. But my biggest takeaway when thinking about these shoes was the fact that the shoes are really your foundation, the foundation for your body, and that soldiers would often take a stance with placing their feet a certain way. And people who like are, you know, golf players, baseball players, you know, there are so many different types of athletes that take a position with their feet. They place their feet a certain way. I mean, I remember my father teaching me to play golf when I was a little kid, and he would always tell me about standing a certain way. Same thing when you walk up to the baseball diamond, you stand a certain way. So your feet are actually a really important part of this armor. And the gospel of peace is referring to the good news, the fact that we have salvation, and that that's really the truth that we stand on. When the world would have you doubting the existence of God, you know, there are so many people that look at circumstances around them and question whether God exists. And so your stance, the way that you carry yourself, is actually quite powerful when you think about it. So here's a direct quote from this article. It says, "The peace shoes," as they're referred to in 6:15, "the peace shoes that God supplies his soldiers have two purposes, defensive and offensive. In order to defend ourselves against the flaming arrows of the evil one, we must have confidence of our position in Christ. We must stand firm in the truth of God's word, regardless of how terrifying the circumstances may be. We must understand grace without abusing it. Remember that our position in Christ is not based on our own abilities or worthiness, and keep our belt of truth and breastplate of righteousness securely fastened." Dang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm thinking, letting that sink in.
So one, I would really encourage you to click the link in the show notes to read the full article, because it really is good. Sometimes when you see such a short little scripture, like, "and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace," that mm-hmm. is literally the only reference there about that. It's so fantastic to be able to find other resources that kind of explain more. And oftentimes, you know, when you are reading something that's written from a more theological perspective. There's a lot of other scriptures that reference that one scripture, back it up, explain. And so you have a full picture in your mind now of why that's there. Why does Paul bring this up? Why does he mention these different pieces of armor the way that he does? And obviously it's all God inspired. You know, these are things that God is putting on Paul's heart to write and explain, which I love how many times we have these examples for us to kind of understand better.
I agree with you. And I think it's so good for us to really dissect a scripture like this, because I think that we do tend to just read and kind of gloss over things. I know myself, I must have glossed over that when I was reading it in the past, because that part had really never stood out to me as part of the armor of God. Do you feel that way?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. You can get caught up on the word shod. I think that's right. Kind of like my brain goes into shod. That's such an interesting word.
Exactly.
It's a fashion word. We don't say that word anymore. Yeah. And then we're not even really thinking about the bigger picture.
When we're going to go out into the fight, you think about your feet. Your feet are what literally move you into the battle, right? And just like I said last week, we have to recognize that we're in a war, and we have to know all of these things are our armor to protect us. We have to recognize we have an enemy. We have to recognize we're in a war. And so shodding your feet in the gospel of peace, that really to me is one of the most protective things you can do. You're gearing up, in other words, to go out into the world.
It's interesting when you think of armor, I don't think of shoes necessarily.
Right.
And so that's kind of like, well, doing this should me stop and really hone in on, well, why would shoes be part of armor and why is that important? And then
right.
when I kind of, because I'm reading also from a study Bible, so I also have what's here in my actual Bible in addition to doing some further research on it. And now I'm so grateful that I did, because now it really does make me have so much more appreciation. And I dare say, when you read further commentary and get some better understanding and context, you really do appreciate that shoes might actually be the most important
right.
Part of your armor. Because when you think about it, when you walk out your door every day, when we're in the world, when we're, at home with your family, when you go to work, wherever you are, you always stand on the foundation of who you belong to.
That's so good.
Who is in your heart? Who do you belong to? Who have you pledged to be the savior of your soul? You belong to the Lord. When you're a believer, you belong to him. And that's a foundation that you walk upon everywhere you go. And I remember when I first became a Christian, and they would tell us, through this process, you have become adopted into God's family. You are a daughter of a king. The king, and that's, you hold your head up within like a royal position. Now you're part of a royal family. And I never forgot that kind of the concept that you are somebody now in God's book, you are someone. And that's really a powerful thing when you think about it, how important that is wherever you are in the world, that you are standing upon that truth. It doesn't matter what your check, your pocketbook says that you are. It doesn't matter what your title is at work. It doesn't matter what you have. It doesn't matter where you've been. God has a title for you, and you stand on that every single day. So in that context, doesn't it make you like really appreciate those shoes?
It does. And I love when you're talking about having a place and having a foundation. It made tears run down my face, because I realize that when I'm in the presence of other people who love Jesus as fiercely and as passionately as I do, like you, Corey, I always feel like these are my people. You know, there's something
yes.
about, it's just like, that's why we call this show the First Love Club, because it's something about being the club. In the club of believers, there's nothing like it in the world. You know, as crafters, we always say, these people really get me, these crafters. And so, but when I'm around a Christian, not just someone who calls himself a Christian, but somebody who's really sold out for Jesus, on fire for God, has given their will over to God, and they're just like, use me, Lord. I'm just, I'm so thankful and happy to be in their presence. I need that in my life. I love connecting with other believers and just knowing that we all have this foundation of faith, that we are walking in a different mindset than the world. That's such a blessing, isn't it? It makes me think of that old song, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed in His blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this side, for I'm part of the family of God. That's one of my favorite old songs. That's
beautiful.
There's nothing like being in the family of God.
It's so true. That totally dovetails with our talk of a few weeks ago when we were talking about how cool it is to be a Christian. Mm-hmm. That's one of those feelings. It's like you're part of this club. You're right. And a family really is what you're talking about. So one thing that, like, you know, that introverts are known for is that we just have it kind of a shorter battery when it comes to social interaction. But mm-hmm. I find that, like, one area in my life that God just gives me this supernatural power mm-hmm. is doing these faithful workshops that I've gotten to do lately. I just did one a couple weeks ago in Texas. It was at the glamping, you know, retreat, and it was so fantastic. Where in the past I'm ready to leave a party if I can be dragged to one really early on, you know, like make an appearance and then I'm gone. Like I just showed up and I can leave. And that's been my MO since I was a teenager. But in this situation, being able to be around other believers and share this love, I can't wait to brag on God. I can't wait to talk about things and show people things that God has done for me or shown me and help create this tool to make your relationship with God stronger. It is just so invigorating. And it is so wonderful to be around other people that are like me too. And coincidentally, that particular event a couple weeks ago was, I would guess that to have been an event. There was probably 90% of the people there were introverts, easily 90%, which was really awesome. And I had this epiphany when I was there thinking, you know, what a gift that is God has given me, that I am calling these other women to myself that have often felt kind of awkward or misplaced. They don't feel like they fit in. And here's this overarching thing that really brings us together and made us want to join together in the first place was, I want to strengthen my relationship with God. I want to have this experience with other believers. I want to, you know, join together and craft and talk about God and listen to beautiful worship music. So it was so powerful to be able to have this realization, like, in this arena, I feel like an extrovert. In this arena, I feel like I'm so dynamic and I want to share and speak boldly. Like, God has given that to me. And it's so odd. Like, I had to sit back for a second, like, who am I? I'm the one staying up the latest, the one doing all the talking. I mean, I'm laughing, you know, super loud. And I don't look anything like what you'd imagine an introvert. And I really feel like that is God giving me this foundation. He's making me appreciate the foundation He's given me, making me appreciate the gift that He's given me and the ability to love on women. Like that, what a gift that is just to be able to make women feel loved and part of something. That's a gift. I'm such an encourager. It's such a fantastic gift that He's given me. I mean, what encourager wouldn't love God signing you up to be a professional encourager?
Well, you know, as you were saying that, this is going to be super spiritual, so everybody brace yourself. As you were saying that,
get our belt of truth on, ladies.
Right. I really am a visual person and I have a very imaginative mind, but I feel like God was giving me a vision of you, Corey, and I have tears streaming down my face because I feel like I could see you in the spiritual realm. I was picturing you there with these women, and I was picturing you taking your love to these women. And then I thought, no, she put on the shoes of the gospel of peace and she walked into that place and spread the love of Jesus. And that is just an epitome of what we're talking about here about the gospel of peace and shodding your feet with it. Because when you're walking in love and you're doing something in touch, physically in person with people and loving on them, to me, that's the best example of Jesus will ever be to the world.
That's so true. Just loving on them. It's, you know, it's really discouraging to me when I think about that, Tracy, that the converse of that is how often I've seen people, you know, standing on a street corner with a sign saying, you're all going to hell.
I know.
I'm like, that's not.
It's not the way.
Kingdom.
I know.
And so you're right. Loving people, which can be hard. That's not always an easy thing to do. It's easy to do when people are like-minded and, you know, you have something in common with them. That's when it's easy. The God is not a God of easy. He brings people who are challenged to you. Mm-hmm. You're going to have people brought into your life to grow you, mature, you know, into being a Christian. And in spite of your feelings, in spite of what your flesh tells you, that you're supposed to anyway, because God loves us anyway.
Right. And, you know, my heart is broken for someone who might listen to us talking about the club, the family of God, and feel on the outside of that, because we're not talking about it in a way to exclude anyone. We're talking about it in a way that hopefully people will want to join the club, because, you know, what people don't realize that don't know God is He's just standing there with open arms, just waiting for them to return to Him or to come to Him for the first time even. And He, you know, it's all you have to do is say, I accept you, Jesus. I believe in you. Forgive me for my sins. And, you know, this week, my heart is so sensitive to the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. This is, if you're listening to this later down the road, we're taping this on the Tuesday before Good Friday. And so I just want to stay in the mindset this week of His supreme sacrifice and how He suffered and how He died and how much it means, and never take it for granted, because I think so many days go by that we take it for granted, don't we?
Absolutely. And the thing about that sacrifice is He did it for you. You. If you're the only person listening to the show, He did that for you. It didn't matter if there was a million people standing there or one. Jesus gave His life for you personally so that you would have eternal salvation. And all that you are required to do is confess that He is the King of your heart. Confess that He is your Savior. I don't know how better a deal you get in life mm-hmm. than that. And yep. that knowledge of where you're going, you know, think about that. How many non-believers don't know where they're going?
Right.
Well, they have no idea what's going to happen to them after death.
Well, you know, and that brings us back to peace. And this is talking about the gospel of peace. When you were talking earlier about how He keeps you from the enemy who would try to snatch you out of His hands, it reminded me of my favorite scripture, which is Psalm 91. And it talks about, you're my refuge in the time of trouble. I will hide under your wings. You're a strong tower. I will not fear the terror by night, is what it says. There's no peace like the peace that comes from Jesus. And I have been at a place in my life, I'm sure you have too, Corey, when if I didn't have the peace of God to tap into, I could not have made it and retained my sanity. I had to run into His arms, and He floods your heart and your mind with peace in a way that we can't even understand. It's the peace that passes understanding, isn't it?
There's nothing like it. And I think that's why for some people, when they become like born again later in life, I think that's why they are very, very loud about it mm-hmm. and almost kind of obnoxious about it sometimes. You know, they are very much about like trying to save everyone in their family. They can't stop talking about the new life that they're living and being in the light. And it's because when you know what living in the darkness is, you can't appreciate that light enough. And right. I can say that personally, because I see my life as very before and after. Mm-hmm. It's very much a BC and AC because I didn't really become officially saved until I was 30 years old. And when I look back at that now, I'm so angry at myself for resisting God, because God made Himself very known to me as a child. And I was very conscious of God existing. And I remember that. I used to talk to God all the time as a teenager, as a young adult, but I was so resistant to the idea of being part of this group. This group that I saw as being very flawed, they're very hypocritical, they're brainwashed. I had all these terrible negative thoughts about them. And the interesting thing is now that I see where my path has led me, how on fire my heart is for God, how much I want to serve in ministry and all those things. Now I see that that was all a scheme of the enemy to keep me separated. Mm-hmm. You know, I could have looked back and seen him whisper in my ear, look at sinner, look at those people. You want to be like that? So it's very interesting. You can look back at something. I truly wished I wish I had known God. And I can't even say that I know God fully. Some of us as Christians, we might accept him, love him, but not truly know him as a dynamic heavenly Father in our life who interacts. I mean, there are some Christians who interact with God on the daily. Mm-hmm. They don't make a move unless God has told them, you know, put that foot in front of the other. Mm-hmm. This is what I want you to do. Talk to this. I mean, when you spend time reading the Bible, you really get a sense of how much it tells God can be in our lives, how much of that he really does, what concerns him. And when you want his best for you, want to be walking in his purpose, how much he will respond and tell you, these are the things I want you to do. So it's very interesting, I think, that there's really this spectrum of godly living, mm-hmm. you know, and just the ground floor is merely the acceptance of God, you know, confessing that he is your savior. God makes that entry into the club so stinking easy, mm-hmm. so easy. And then from that point, it's kind of the ball's in your court, whether you're going to avail yourself of that very loving and wonderful and challenging relationship that's with him, you know, that might require much more of you than you are prepared to give.
You know what? I'm so glad you said that. And that is a perfect way to put it. It's like the ground floor. Because I'll be honest with you, I said in last week's show, there are two kinds of Christians. I said something to this effect. There are two kinds of Christians, people who accept Jesus, and then they are satisfied with their status quo of Christianity, and people who want everything that God has for them, and they are going to try to go to a different level. That was what I meant to say. But when I listened back and edited the show, I worried that maybe that was a little too harsh for people to hear. You know, like all Christians, you know, maybe people think all Christianity is created equal. But you're right, Corey. It is like you're at the ground floor of a building when you accept Jesus as your Savior. And I fully believe you are going to heaven at that point because salvation is free. We don't earn it. But on the other hand, you can keep climbing the stairs in that building and going to new levels in God because he speaks of different gifts and different ways he wants to work in your life. But as you said, it's up to us and how much we want to participate in the changes he wants to make in us, right?
Amen. That's so true. When I look back at my path, and I see how early on God was showing me, like giving me a vision of what my future was going to hold in a series of these dreams. And God dreams are not like your regular ordinary dreams. Mm-hmm. God dreams can be very vivid, but I feel like the detail of them is so specific and profound that, you know, 18 years later, somewhere in there, I can still remember it like it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. I can't say that about other dreams I've had at all. So when I think back of that, it was like God was just dangling this little carrot in front of me, giving me this little clue, because the path to get to the beginning of some of those things coming to pass has been a long, at times very dark, very difficult, journey. That's been very, very painful. But at the same time, God has given us so many examples in the Bible where other people led very painful journeys mm-hmm. as well. So God's not above allowing us to experience pain in order to in order to prosper us, in order to grow us. You know, if you think back, Joseph, David, you know, some of the people that went through different situations, they were sometimes completely righteous. They had done nothing wrong. Job is, I'd put Job in that category as well. And yet God is not above allowing that pain. But I truly believe in my heart of hearts that if you were to sit Job and Joseph and David down and interview them today and ask, was it worth, you know, having gone through what you did and to see the blessing on the other side, was it worth that? And I just feel like they would all say yes. You know, Joseph had the ability to be like, you know, in your face to his brothers,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
But he didn't. He was so gracious. And I remember my pastor always joking about how Job, that God gave Job double for his trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But he really did. And I just kind of feel like the example that your life set, being a person who was on this earth and went through this incredible pain, that I for what it's done to so many people to this day, think about how many years have passed between Job walking on this earth and us walking on this earth. How many millions of people have picked up their Bible and drawn such incredible hope from his story?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just feel like Job was the kind of gracious man that would have said it that would be worth it to me. My pain and suffering would be worth it to know how many people were touched and transformed by God because they looked at my story as inspiration to keep going.
You know, that really makes me think of your Faithful Planner Girl workshop and the class I taught, Faith Recorded, at our workshop, and we want to do that again because it is so important that we tell the stories of our faith and what we have been through. And I'm really not one to tell hard and difficult stories in my regular memory keeping, but when it comes to faith, I want to tell all the hard stories because I want to show what God has brought me through and how far I have come. And this also reminds me of a conversation I had with my friend last night. She went to see the new movie, Paul, the Apostle of Christ, with Jim Caviezel, mm-hmm. my favorite. And she said, you know, after seeing that, it really makes me aware of how the early Christians lived every day, not even knowing if they would survive or be martyred because they could be martyred for their faith, and how we just take our faith for granted. And she said something great in the course of this conversation. She said, it's almost like we're numb to what we've been given and how important salvation is. And I thought, Lord, do not ever let me be numb to you and to the beauty of the gift that you gave me by dying on the cross. And really, Corey, that's the reason I'm doing this show. I just want to get that across to people, how good God is and how much he has for you. If you'll just let him work on you, let him into your life and make him the focus of it.
If you're sitting there listening to our show right now, and I know a lot of people who are totally on the same page here. Mm-hmm. We're all jumping up and down. Me too. I totally agree. God is, he rocks. He's amazing. So I know we have a lot of sisters listening that are absolutely on the same page. And I think that for some of you who have struggled to feel that way at times because you have suffered, you have experienced things where you don't understand. And it's hard to accept that God would allow us to go through pain. God would take people from us that we don't feel as it's their time. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that we can look to God and say, it's your fault I'm suffering. It's your fault these things are going on. I just don't want to even have a relationship with you. You know, there's a lot of people who break up with God because they just can't tolerate the present circumstances that they're going through because mm-hmm. they believe God should be shielding us from those things. And I think that's what's so powerful about that foundation that we stand on. You know, when we talk about, you know, putting on the shoes of peace, the gospel of peace that we stand upon, God has not made any of that a mystery. The Bible is very clear. There is all kinds of unjust suffering happening mm-hmm. from the beginning of time. That's what sin does when it's unleashed on the earth.
Amen.
God doesn't tell you we're not going to have pain. God doesn't tell you you're not going to question in the midnight hour, why, God, why? But what he does tell us is that he will be with us when we go through those trials. He will be with us when we are suffering that pain. He has suffered. He knows what suffering feels like. He understands unjustness. That's one of the things about God you can count on, is that no one has suffered like he has. He made himself in human form to suffer for something. I mean, I think about that kind of stuff all the time. I get really upset when I see what's unfair in my eyes, like that situation's so unfair. God is the epitome of the unfair situation. When Jesus came to earth and literally took on the weight of the world's sins upon him, this unblemished, perfect human being, how fair was that? How can we ever compare what we go through is to be unfair when he's already done that just for the sake of you having eternal life?
The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Even he bore our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed. So think of what he suffered just for us.
So Tracy, you had said earlier about Paul, you know, being in a time of early Christianity where people were persecuted for their faith. And Paul certainly was an example of that. How many times he was spit on, beat up, thrown in prison, simply for trying to tell people, look, you have this, there's this solution. You don't have to live this way, you know, and we can only guess what life was like then, that having this hope, I guess it would probably be the same way that today, that, you know, that you just being extended this opportunity, becoming a Christian, and what that really means. Sometimes I think people, like I did, get very caught up in the title and think that, well, that means I have to go to church on Sundays, and this means I have to always be perfect, and I can't, you know, there's no wiggle room for being human. And I think that's the absolute, I was looking at that so wrong. It's a privilege to be a follower of Christ.
Amen.
It's a privilege to be the daughter of the King Most High. And I don't think I ever truly appreciated that nearly as much as, you know, in this season of my life, especially spending so, being very diligent about reading my Bible, and every day seeing more and more evidence of who God is. And it's always blows me away to think the same God that was directing all of these different kings and all of these different events and circumstances is the same God that speaks to us today, the same God that, you know, orders your steps when you allow him, the same God that has a purpose for your life. And it may not be that you put on your armor and grab your sword and run out into a war like Gideon did, but it could be about being the, you know, being in a season where you are the minister in your home, that your children are your ministry, raising up godly kids. It could be that, you know, a spouse that you have, your ministry is your marriage and taking care of your husband. There's different circumstances. Each of the seasons of our lives constantly evolve, and that God calls us to certain positions in life that we might feel ill-equipped for, but he has already equipped you. He has yet to reveal that. And how he reveals that is through your prayers and talking to him and spending time with him, just like you would other people in your life. And I'm guessing, when I think about Paul and how many miles that man walked to spread this gospel, how many countries he visited, I'm guessing he spent a lot of time looking down at his feet. You know, I certainly have. I'm, you know, being an introvert, I'm very inward thinker. And I know that I have to remind myself sometimes to look up. And I wonder, did Paul spend time looking at his feet as he was walking along, contemplating, thinking, and that his feet never failed him. He followed where God led him, his shoes of peace. He is the greatest example, I think, in the Bible about wearing those shoes of peace and spreading that gospel, because he knew who he was. He knew where he'd been, and he knew who he belonged to now. And look how excited and determined he was to spread that message. There is no greater example in the Bible than Paul in spreading that, him and his shoes of peace. So I think that for such a tiny little scripture, there's so much power packed into those words. And again, I'm going to make sure that I link this very thorough and really awesome article that goes into more detail on the subject. I hope that you were blessed by this conversation. I know me and Tracy are kind of all over the place. We actually talked about this before we got on and started recording, is that sometimes the spontaneous conversations and just letting something kind of meander where it goes is sometimes like the best conversations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and we don't want the show to feel like this very scripted, like we're reading off of something. We want it to feel natural and organic, because when you are passionate about God, there's so many things that are popping into your head, things you want to share and get off your heart, and probably things the Holy Spirit is placing on our heart to say, you know, this, and don't forget this.
Right.
So we hope that this whole show blessed your socks off.
Yes, I agree. And this has been a 3 or 4 tissue show for me, because...
She is not exaggerating. Trust me when I say this. Tracy's not saying that. Those aren't just words. Tracy does get very teary-eyed. It's actually very touching. I actually missed that part of like recording with you in person.
Aww.
Because you are so demonstrative. Like, I can just be sitting there talking and you just have the most dreamy look on your face. And you do. You get very emotional. So, folks, she's not exaggerating when she says this. But it's so sweet.
I was telling somebody this week that I think that I'm unemotional about some things that people get emotional about, women especially. But when it comes to the goodness of God and scripture and what he's done for me, he's done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. That's another old song. And it's like, I couldn't possibly even begin to explain how much he means to me. And so I think it wells up in my heart and it runs out my eyes. So
I totally hear you. I feel that same way. Like, when I was going to church at Dr. Evans Church, Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, I would cry my mascara off every Sunday in worship. I kind of started asking myself, why do I bother putting
right
every time?
This has been great. I just love talking about the goodness of God. And I really feel in myself, I want to make sure that I'm wearing every day the gospel of peace on my feet. And just, that's a great visual to have as we go out into the world. And so we hope that this week you will remember Jesus and his sacrifice, that you will have a lovely celebration of a Holy Week and Good Friday. We also have a Maundy Thursday service. Some people do. And I'm looking forward to that. And then, of course, the big celebration for Christians of the entire year is Easter Sunday. And I can't wait to celebrate the risen Savior. And he didn't stay in that tomb, right, Corey?
Amen, girl. He was out and about.
Right.
He was out in 3 days.
So what a great celebration week. We hope that you will be blessed. And we look forward to talking again next week. We hope you'll join us for another show of the First Love Club.
Bye, everybody.